Father, thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you that you are in control of everything, Lord. We thank you that you're the creator. Lord, we look outside and we see the beauty of nature, and it's by your handiwork that you have made everything. Even this bird, Lord, is a wonderful creation of you, and we can see your power and your creativity because of it. Thank you that you are in control of the service. Lord, thank you for receiving our worship. Thank you for making it possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we are so desperate for a Savior. We need a Savior from our sin, and you provided, Father, the perfect Savior, the perfect sacrifice for us to take the punishment that we deserve and to live a life of righteousness that we could never earn on our own. We thank you for that. Thank you that we can remember. Lord, we do forget. Thank you for communion, where we can remember the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for wonderful worship songs, Lord, that we can sing to you. Pray that our hearts would just be full now to receive your word. Lord, I pray that it would not be me speaking, but that it would be you as I rightly divide your word. Lord, may your people receive your word with receptive and soft hearts and live lives of obedience through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question, as always, when I start out. The question is, does the Bible talk about church attendance? How many times a year should you go to church? How many times a month should you go to church? How many times a week should you go to church? Is there just a general recommendation for you? You know, it's kind of a good thing, just attend. Do you kind of get to decide on your church attendance based on how you feel? It's like, I feel like it this morning, or no, I don't feel like it this morning. Do the church leaders get to decide? Hey, you got to be here, you know, X number of times, X, Y, Z. Do you attend everything in the church, or just the large groups, or maybe just the small groups? What does the Bible say about church attendance? Does it say anything at all? Well, if you believe like I do that the Word of God speaks to all of life, then the answer to that question is yes, the Bible does speak about church attendance. And that's what I want to explore today in our Membership Matters series. I want to explore three governing principles for your time with the family of God. It's a matter for church members, biblical church attendance. Or what does the Bible say about church attendance? So I want you to grab your copy of the Scriptures, your own personal copy or the copy in front of you in the pew rack. And we're going to go to Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. If you're using the Pew Bible or the ones we gave you for free a while back, it's page 1007. So just boom, go right there. Hebrews 10:25. And we'll back up and get a running start at this in verse 24, because there's an implicit imperative that's in verse 24 that carries into verse 25. So we need to get a running start at this. And it says this, verse 24, Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, at this point, I'm going to have Greg flashed up there on the screen. You can take a look at that. This is the another version of the Bible called the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I just thought it would be a good idea for us to look at it in different versions, just to kind of check and see different ways it's translated. Kind of a cool thing to do sometimes. You should be doing it in your own Bible study. Listen to what the Holman Christian Standard Version says. It says, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And one more other translation. This is called the NET Bible, the New English Translation. Some of you might use it in personal study. I do occasionally. It's a good translation. It says this, and let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and good works, not abandoning our own meetings, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and even more so because you see the day drawing near. So in this passage, we're going to see three governing principles for your time with the family of God. So basically three principles for church attendance. Three principles for church attendance. Well, why talk about this? You know, is the goal to really make y'all feel guilty, or is the goal maybe to increase church attendance? Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. It isn't to make you feel guilty or to even increase church attendance per se, although that's a good thing. It's not to give you rigid guidelines for you, you know, to make a checklist and check things off. No, my goal is to encourage your commitment to the church. That's my goal. One simple goal today is that this would be encouraging to you, that it would just overall encourage your commitment to the body of Christ, to the church. So I think after you see these three governing principles, that you'll be encouraged, to be more committed to the assembly than you already are. Whatever level of commitment that you're at, you'll be encouraged even the more so to love the church. Well, let's look at these three governing principles. First is the principle of cherishing. Now you can put that up. Principle of cherishing. If you want to have biblical church attendance, then you must cherish the assembly of believers. And go ahead and look down at your verse, because that's where I get this principle from. So it would be good to see that I actually am getting what I'm teaching you from the Word of God. Look at verse 25. It says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. So what the writer to the Hebrews is saying, what the Holy Spirit, he is saying, is don't abandon each other. Don't abandon each other. Don't stay away from the meeting of the church. Don't leave your brothers and sisters in Christ hanging out to dry. Don't leave a fellow soldier behind. We don't do that. Don't be a traitor and just leave those who are desperately in need of you. You see, when we gather together, we need all of you. We need everyone. You all need each other. We need each other. And we shouldn't tell ourselves, well, you know, no one's going to really miss me today. At the assembly of believers, nobody's, you know, going to miss me. I'll just stay home. No, we need you. And you need to cherish the assembly as well. The word neglect there, it's a very strong word. It has the idea to forsake or leave exposed or leave somebody in a dangerous place. You're leaving somebody in the lurch. They're being exposed to great danger. That means to desert, abandon, to leave for dead. It's kind of like if you had a two-year-old, three-year-old, very young, precious child, kind of like Noah Scott. I went and visited him at the hospital this past week. He'd been in the hospital. He's out now, though. He's doing better. But if it's like his parents were to take him and they were to set him in the middle of the 465 and just say, okay, good luck with that. We'll see you. Bye. They would be neglecting him. They would be abandoning him to great danger. That's what it would be like. It'd be like leaving your children at home and never coming back. Now, some of you parents, don't go there, okay? You know what I'm saying. That's neglect. You don't provide for your children if you just leave them there and never come back. Listen to a very wise man. Listen to Pastor Brian McCrory. He's senior pastor of Heather Hills Baptist Church in Indianapolis. Anybody ever heard of him? Yeah. I know as the associate pastor, you never can quote the senior pastor too much. So listen to what Pastor Brian says about this. He says, sometimes people say, I don't really need church. I'm already saved. And I can miss a few meetings here and there. Listen, We need to be together, he says. We need to fellowship with each other. We need to worship together. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 26. It says this: For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ's church. If one member of the church suffers, all suffer together. I haven't made the altar call yet. You don't have to come up, Bird. Bird's coming forward, and I haven't even made the invitation. If one member of the church suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. End quote. We need to be together. We need to cherish the assembly. You know, at the time of the writing of the book of Hebrews, the Jewish Christians, they were tempted to go back to their old ways in Judaism. They were tempted to leave the once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to go back to the other sacrifices, the ones that weren't sufficient, the ones that didn't pay for sin. And part of the reason that they were tempted to do this was because of persecution. There was great persecution at the time of writing to be a Christian. And so they were tempted to go back. And so they were going to go back to Judaism, where there weren't these problems. It was safe. There was no persecution. And they literally left those that they had committed themselves to the persecutors. They're saying, I'm not going to be persecuted. I'm going back to Judaism. And they left those of their Christian brothers and sisters in a dangerous place to be persecuted without their help. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't do that. So instead of standing together and saying, I'm with you, brothers and sisters, they were abandoning them to stand the persecution alone. Wouldn't that be horrible? To stand persecution alone? It's much better when you stand together. A cord of many strands is not broken easily. And this is what happens when your church attendance is lacking. You leave the rest of us alone. We're unprotected when you do that. So we don't get to share with you in worship. We don't get to share with you in fellowship. We don't get to be encouraged by your example. We don't get the opportunity of serving you. So we need you. We need you. We need each other. We need the assembly. We need it. Cherish the assembly. That's our first principle. Cherish the assembly. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, obviously there's going to be times when, you know, you're just not going to be able to be here. It's physically impossible. There's going to be times like that. That's not what I'm talking about. There may even be seasons of your life where you're not able to attend the worship of the church. But you have to note that in the Greek here, in the word to not neglect, it's a present tense verb. So it's talking about the habitual pattern of your life over a course of time. What is the habitual pattern of your life? Not taking a season of life, but what is the habitual pattern of your life? Is it to cherish the assembly? Is it to be together in the assembly? It's the attitude of your heart that is cherishing the assembly. And it actually comes out and it shows up in your attendance. So just ask yourself that question. What is the habitual pattern of my life? Do I, as a habit of life, cherish the assembly? Or do I, as a habit of life, neglect the assembly? Now, sometimes our good intentions get the best of us. So we have good intentions, but they actually don't come out in reality. So it might be a good idea for you to ask somebody who knows you, who will be honest with you, say, hey, you know what? What would you say would be the pattern of my life? What's the habitual pattern of my life? Am I a neglecter or am I a cherisher? And that might be something good to do. Somebody that'll be honest with you. That's a good way to distinguish between good intentions and the actual pattern of your life. So, if you're regularly, as a habit of life, missing the assembly of believers, then that becomes a problem. Maybe something spiritually that you need to work on. And at that point, you just need to ask the Lord to help you with that. That's the great thing in the Christian life, is that when we come up lacking, when there's guilt in life, we don't act like, I got nowhere to go with this. No, when we come up short in the Christian life, that's fine. Because you know where we can go? We can go to our all-powerful God. And we may not have the power in and of ourselves, but God does. God has the power, and all we need to do is ask and then walk in obedience. Well, some may ask this question. Okay, well, how many absences do I get? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Some of you are thinking that, right? How many absences do I get? You know, and honestly, the answer to that question is, I don't know. Nobody knows. God knows, obviously. God knows. God knows your heart. But that's simply something between you and God. It may be one. It may be four. But it's somewhere certainly short of the membership standard that we have here at Heather Hills, which is one once every 3 months. Okay? I mean, imagine if I told my family, you know, I'm only going to come home from the office once every 12 days. How well would that go over? That wouldn't go over very well, all right, if I just said I was going to come home every 12th day. And that you know, that becomes something that we can think about from our church attendance. And also, a little bit of a clue, if you're asking that question seriously, well, how many do I get? Then it might be a clue to you that your heart's maybe not quite in the right spot. Because the true heart, the honest heart, the heart that wants to please God, it says, not how close can I get to the line? It says, how far can I get away from the line? How much can I please God? How much can I attend the assembly? How can I please God in an increasing way? So those are just some clues for your heart. And like I said, if you come up short, you know, don't wring your hands. Oh, I'm terrible. Well, yeah, we all are. We're all terrible. But our God is a great God. And He gives the power to obey in this area of life and every area of life. So if you come up short today, just cry out to God. Cry out to God and He will help. So our first principle to govern your time with the family of God is cherish the assembly. Cherish the assembly. Second principle to govern your time with the family of God is the principle of care. Caring. If you want to have biblical church attendance, then you must care for the assembly of believers. And again, let's see that we get this point from the Word of God. So look down at your scriptures. It says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So instead of abandoning the assembly, the inspired author says to encourage one another. Don't neglect, but rather encourage one another. Care. Care for the assembly. The word there is the word parakaleo, which means nothing to you, which is no big deal. You don't have to be intrigued by that. I like it. I like to hear Greek words. It's the word parakaleo, and it means to come alongside someone else. You know, to just put your arm around them and encourage them in the truth. You know, you notice somebody and they're struggling, they're kicking against the goads, they're, you know, somewhat being maybe a little rebellious in their attitude. You just come up, put your arm around them and speak truth to them in a loving and kind way. That's what it means to care. The other day, I need occasionally to speak truth to those of my family members. Sometimes they don't act in accordance with truth. And, you know, I didn't back up from the person who needed to be talked to and yell at them from across the room, hey, stop doing that. You know, I came closer. I got closer. Didn't back away. I got closer, put my arm around, said, hey, you know what? This is what you need to be doing. And this is the reason why. And I was encouraging them to obey the truth, to understand what I was saying, and to be exhorted to do it in a strong way. And it's the same type of ministry that the Holy Spirit has in the believer's life. If you're a believer, this is the same type of ministry the Holy Spirit has. He comes to you as a believer, and He is your comforter. He is your guide and your strength. You ever been in a tough situation? And you know, you may be hurting. You may be tempted to do something. There may be an opportunity for growth or ministry or something. And Bible verses start popping in your head. That's the comforter. That's the Holy Spirit coming alongside you. He is saying to you, hey, I exhort you to this truth. Remember the words of Scripture and exhorting you to it. Listen to John 14:26. It says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring into remembrance everything that I have taught you. So the Holy Spirit, his job is to come alongside and to remind you of the truth of God that you already know, to encourage you to that. And that's what we need to do when we gather together. We come alongside one another. We care for one another. Occasionally, we need to put an arm around somebody's shoulder and encourage them in the truth, to be comforted by God's truth, to be maybe corrected, to believe God's truth. It's the same thing in church. We're to care. We're to encourage one another. We're to bear one another's burdens. That's what it says in Galatians 6:2. Listen to Galatians 6:2. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we're to care for the assembly. We're to cherish each other. We're to be together. And we're to care for one another, to extend that love of Christ to one another. And notice that this is related to the assembly, too. If you look down in the verse, it says, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. And then the assumption there is that it's encouraging one another in the assembly. That's kind of the assumption. This is all having to do with the assembly of believers. So somehow, and in some way, by you just being here, you encourage every other Christian. Just by you showing up, you may not even have an opportunity to have your arm around somebody and encourage them and speak truth to them. But just by your showing up and being together in worship, you are showing care and concern to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know some of you will be like, well, how's that work? Well, that's what the Scriptures say. It does. It works. That's what God says. You just show by your presence that you care. And then also it gives you an opportunity when you're assembled to see those needs. Now, you can't meet every need of every person in the assembly. But if you're not here, you can't meet any because you don't know. And that means a great deal to God and to His people. Notice also the phrase down there in Hebrews 10:25 says, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we're to encourage one another in the assembly and in increasing fashion, spiraling upward in an increasing fashion as we see the day of Christ approach. It's kind of like any Star Wars people out there like Star Wars. Oh, yeah, Madison, yeah. 10 or 2. It's like the tractor beam, okay? It's like the tractor beam. You get caught and you get drawn in. The assembly of believers draws you in. There's an irresistible tug. It's kind of like quicksand. You get in and you're over your head before you know it. Should be an increasing nature to your care for the assembly. And, you know, frankly, probably some of that scares some of you. It's a little bit scary. But God has designed it for your blessing. And you need to ask yourself this question. What else is God doing in the world? He's promised to build His church. That's what He's doing in the world. So this is the most exciting thing that's going on today in the city of Indianapolis. Us gathering together for worship. What else is God doing in the world? He's building His church.
He promised to build His church. He said the gates of hell won't stand against it. Is God building like a recreation enrichment program? No, He's not. He's building His church. Is the church just something that you view in your life as, well, you know, I just kind of add this into my life to make it better? No, God is building a people together that are gathered for His name, for His sake. You know, some people think that Sunday is their day of rest. You know, like, well, hey, you know, I work 6 days a week and on Sunday I just want to rest and relax. You know, I just need to just chill out. Well, I guarantee you, you will be more relaxed and you will be more chilled out if you come and worship with the people of God than if you go to Bedside Baptist. And certainly you will be more relaxed and you will be catharsized if you go to St. Mattress of the Springs. Okay, certainly. Certainly. It says all the more, all the more. So our encouragement of one another in the assembly should be increasing, should be increasing. There should be an anticipation. Oh, is it Sunday yet when I get to gather with the people of God and we come together for worship? Is it Sunday yet? Is it Sunday yet? Well, this brings us to our last principle, governing your time with the family of God. And it's the principle of Christ. The principle of Christ. If you want to have biblical church attendance, then you must see Christ in the assembly of believers. And look down at the phrase in Hebrews 10:25. It says, as you see the day drawing near. As you see the day drawing near. What does this mean? What does that mean? Well, if you are a Christian, then you are looking forward to being with Jesus in heaven one day, right? That is the hope of every believer. That one day we will be with Jesus in heaven. A couple weeks ago, we had a couple funerals. And it was great because they were funerals of believers, those who were saved by Christ, followers of Christ. And we knew that they were at the end goal, that they were with Christ. And that is the goal of every true believer. If you're a true believer in this assembly, that is your goal. One day you want to be with the Lord. And that will be the day, will it not? That is the day that it's talking about. See, we don't hope for in this life only in Jesus. We hope in Jesus for the next life as well. It's not just for this life. God is a great strength and a great comfort in this life. But if that were it, we would be most pitied. Because this life, the Bible says, is a vapor. There's eternity that you need to worry about. And for believers, we know that we will spend it in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in eternal bliss. And it's going to be great. So that's not all there is just this world. There will be an eternity that each one in the world spends somewhere, either with Christ or in hell, which is God's garbage dump for ruined people, those who do not fulfill their purpose of worshiping God as He has designed. So it's the hope of every Christian to be with the Lord in eternity. We are all looking forward to that day. And as we attend the assembly, we have that day in view. That is our motivation. Should be our motivation. That's our motivation in life. That's our goal. That's our end. So we look forward to the day of being with Christ. And when we gather together in worship, that's what we're doing, essentially. We're all looking forward to the day of being with Christ. Let me tell you this. If you do not like the worship of God with the assembly of His people, then you will hate heaven. You'll hate it. If you love the assembly of God's people for the worship of God, then you are going to love heaven. You're absolutely going to love it. You know that when believers assemble together, when we gather together, this is the closest that we get to heaven. This is actually the closest that we get to heaven. When we gather together as God's people, it's as if we pull heaven down to earth. Because what is heaven? Heaven is a place where there is the worship of God, that those are gathered there and they worship God. What do? When we gather together as the assembly, we gather together, worship God. It's the same thing. We bring heaven down to earth. We look forward to that day. Believers for eternity will worship Christ. It's basically going to be just one big, long worship service. Amen. You won't have to worry about the roast. It's going to be the worship of Christ forever on end. Well, I'm going to flash some verses up on the screen, and we're going to pull heaven down a little bit. Get a glimpse of heaven in Revelation 5. 8 through 14, it says this: "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song." So there's prayers, singing songs. You get the picture here? There's a worship service going on. "Sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" Hopefully that's what our church looks like. "And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands. Thousands sang with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and," key word, "worshipped." They worshiped. So if your desire is to go and be with the Lord one day, then you will be irresistibly drawn to the worship gathering of the church. If that is your goal, if that is your hope, then you will be irresistibly drawn together, because that's what heaven is going to be like. That's what you're looking for. And so that's the principle of Christ. And it's all because, you know, we talk about this in the treasure principle in our ABF hour. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your attendance will be also. And if not, then it tells a lot about your heart. It's kind of like skipping practice and thinking that you can play in the big game. Now, if you're an athlete and you're worth your salt, you know that you can't skip practice and expect to play in the world championship. You can't do that. Well, that's what it's like when we assemble. How do you expect to go to the world championship, be there at the day of Christ, when you never practiced or you neglect practice? So as the day approaches, let us not neglect the assembly, but encourage one another. Heaven, it's coming. Heaven is coming. Someday, maybe the Lord will return today. Maybe it's your time to go be with the Lord today. But it's coming. And we experience a little bit of it every week when we gather together to worship. When we gather together to worship, we're doing the same thing as heaven is doing. We're pulling a little bit of heaven down to earth. So if you want to have a biblical church attendance, you must cherish the assembly, you must care for the assembly, and you must see Christ in the assembly of the body of Christ, His church. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word, how clear it is. God, we do look forward to that one day of being with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to stand around and to worship you. around the throne. That is our goal. That is our end, Lord. May we have that in view as we consider our church attendance, Lord. I pray that you would help each one here just evaluate, Lord, their lives. And, Lord, where there's encouragement, pray that you encourage. Where there's neglect, I pray that you would exhort and encourage to truth. Father, thank you for your church. You are building your church. What a great place to be. No better place to be than in the church, together, gathered with the assembly of believers, because we know that's what heaven is going to be like. We're going to be gathered together, worshiping you. Lord, I pray that you would settle these truths deep in our hearts so we might serve you more in a faithful way. Thank you again for the worship of you, and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.